Welcome to Over 40, Fabulous, and Pregnant. This is episode 7. I am your host, Jamie Massey, and in a world where it's taboo to talk about a woman's age, I want to celebrate it and support every woman's pregnancy journey over 40. While we do discuss medical treatments and medicine, you know we're not doctors. These are women's experiences that came before you, not medical advice. On today's show, we have Grace from Port Aransas. She had two daughters, one at 42 and one at 46 years old, with the help of modern medicine. She went through IVF, if you can guess. So, of course, I had to ask her 20 questions after the show ended. She is a wealth of knowledge with all of her gained experiences. Her first birth was during a hurricane that destroyed her house. That's a wow, isn't it? Well, her second birth was at the end of February of 2020, right before everything shut down. And guess who got COVID before it was even a thing? Her whole family. It's really unbelievable circumstances that all this happened. I know COVID can be a trigger for some people for opinions and judgments, or maybe it just was a thing of the past. And she didn't tell me, but I am guessing she was pretty apprehensive about telling this part of her story when she got COVID, with fear of judgment and maybe how things were handled because they didn't know what to do. And I just want to make sure that we are giving Grace the respect from a supportive woman's lens and not through a political lens. And just so you know, to put it in perspective, I'm hearing these stories for the first time, just like you. And so you can tell by my reactions from the show, I'm just so shocked to hear like what happened. Like, we didn't have a home to go back to. We had to rent a house. And she's so nonchalant about it. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I just can't stop saying that because I'm so shocked. And speaking of IVF, we'll get into that in a minute. But don't forget, you can email me at jamie@over40fabulousandpregnant.com. And going to our IVF update, I'm so glad the crying is over. More so, I think my husband is glad the crying is over. This week was egg retrieval. And if you remember last week, I had 3 follicles. And they said, don't worry, it's still early. Well, my appointment a few days before egg retrieval, they concluded that only 1 egg was mature. 1. And the eggs had to be an 18 in order to retrieve them. And my 1, well, the biggest one, let's say, all the other ones were really small. The 1 measured a 27. So that was actually good news. And after leaving the doctor, I just couldn't stop crying. And I was just so disappointed that I only had 1. I was just so sure I was going to have so many. I know I should be grateful for the 1, but that was my thoughts and feelings at that moment. So egg retrieval was a few days ago, and the whole thing was pretty much just like the polyp and that whole surgery. So I walk myself into the ER and I get up on the table, and that's when I start to panic. And I have no idea what I was thinking. You know, you're pretty much naked besides the gown you have on and my amazing yellow socks that I have on my feet. And you put your feet in the stirrups, and then they also strap your legs down. So meanwhile, they have this window, I guess, into the lab-like place that has a full view of all of your lady parts. I mean, you are spread eagle facing this window, basically. I have never felt so exposed. And on top of that, it was incredibly cold in there. And maybe that was part of my panic because I hate being cold. But my whole body could not stop shaking. Like, I was physically shaking my whole body. And I'm sure the anesthesiologist was just like, let's get her drugs. He was nice and he gave me an extra blanket. That was really nice. So everything went fine. They ended up retrieving two eggs, and as we know, there was only one mature one that was fertilized. I've been on edge ever since. I keep myself very busy, very distracted. It's a perfect recipe to avoid all feelings and thoughts. And I just go back, you know, from negative thoughts to positive thoughts. And it's like this slow motion of back and forth. But we will be getting an update in a few days if it's viable. It's pretty much a given. I'm going to cry either way. Let's just put that out there. And with that, let's get into Grace's story. And Grace, welcome to Over 40, Fabulous and Pregnant.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And before we get to your pregnancy journey, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am currently 49. I live in South Texas, and I am happily married to a wonderful man. And we have two girls, age 5 and 2.5.
Yay. And did you say where you're from?
I live in South Texas in a small town called Port Aransas, which is on a barrier island near Corpus Christi.
Mm-hmm. That's a little Texas destination.
Yes. I live in a tourist town.
Uh-huh. Yes. So let's go back to before you were pregnant. And you have two pregnancies in your 40s.
Yes.
So let's start with your pregnancy and getting pregnant.
Well, I kind of didn't meet the love of my life until a little bit later in life. I was 40 years old when I met him, and we kind of immediately knew that we wanted to try for a family and tried the good old fashioned way for a while. We did get married. We got married pretty soon after that, and it wasn't working. And I knew that I might have some other issues besides just being older. I had never really been pregnant. I had an ectopic pregnancy in my 30s. And other than that, I had never been pregnant in my life. So I thought that there might be some other stuff going on other than just, you know, being over 40. And so when we really started trying, I was probably about 42, as far as, you know, seeking out doctors and everything. And we eventually did try a lot of medical interventions, and then, but quickly went to IVF and had my daughter when I was 44.
That's great. I am starting my medication today for IVF. Do you have any
very
words
crazy
for me?
You know, it seems like it's a big hill, very complicated and everything. But if anything I can say is just take it one day at a time. What going through fertility treatments really taught me is that I needed to stay in today. Like, it wasn't what happened before, and it's not all the things that could happen in the future, but it was really just what I had to focus on today. I had to focus on, you know, this pill and this shot, and that's all I had to do for today.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, so you're 40, and you went through IVF.
Yes. We had tried...
You're 42, actually,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was about 42 when we really started seriously, you know, seeking medical help outside of just my normal OB.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm from in Texas, in Corpus Christi, there really isn't any major fertility centers that I could go to. My first stop would be like San Antonio or Houston. Mm-hmm. And so we saw a couple doctors in San Antonio, but it just wasn't really a good fit, though I did try some treatments, just some simulated time cycles and IUIs, those things. But it just, those doctors in San Antonio, I'm saying they were bad doctors, they just weren't a good fit for me. And so, I decided that if I was going to spend that kind of money, which it is a lot of money, and, you know, insurance didn't cover really anything, that I was just going to research and find the best doctor that I could for the money. And that kind of led me to a doctor in St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And it sort of worked out because my best friend, her family was from St. Louis. She was from St. Louis. And I ended up being able to stay with them. And they really helped me on that journey. And we ended up staying with that doctor in St. Louis and was successful eventually in having my daughter.
Mm-hmm. So did you go back and forth often or how did that work?
Well, you know, I did. And I know that sounds crazy. But if you think about it, where I live in Texas, I was, you know, if I was traveling to, say, San Antonio or Houston, that would be 3-4 hours in a car, no matter what for stuff. And I would, you know, have to stay and all that kind of thing. So it really wasn't that big of a deal to say, okay, instead of spending, you know, 3 to 4 hours in a car, I'm just going to get on a plane and fly for 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of my mentality as far as that. And plus, again, when I thought about, okay, you know, if I'm spending this kind of money and invest, you know, this is my one shot at doing this, then I was going to find, you know, kind of the same thing with any other kind of medical problem. Like if I had cancer, I'd go to MD Anderson in Houston, right? Because that's maybe the best out there. Or maybe it's if I was going, you know, some other medical problem and they were doing research on that in, you know, Colorado, maybe I'd go to Colorado, but this was the best fit for me. And as far as having a baby well into my 40s.
Mm-hmm. So did the first time work?
Well, so the process for me was that I initially met with the doctor. We kind of got a plan together. And they were great. They were used to dealing with people from not just out of the state, but people from all over the world go to this doctor. So they were used to dealing with travel and people from out of town and all that. And so what we initially decided to do was to, do some egg retrievals. So I could see, you know, how I'd respond to the medication, see how many eggs I could get, you know, hopefully make embryos, freeze them, and then save them for a later time to transfer. And so that was a journey in itself. I ended up doing 3 egg retrievals. So 3 cycles of stimulating, or stims as people call them, you know, stimulating the ovaries to make more eggs and retrieving those eggs and making embryos. So that was in itself a very difficult journey. That was a roller coaster as far as you read about online and other women, they get like, you know, 16 eggs and, you know, 18 eggs. And the first cycle that I did, I think I got maybe 3 eggs, maybe 2. I'm trying to remember. Not that many, but my doctor was a big proponent of less is more. And he is a believer in minimal stimulation to create a better egg quality.
Okay.
And that's just something out there that women kind of have to navigate through, like which maybe is best for your body. Everybody's different. We were okay with getting 1 or 2 eggs if they were high quality eggs to make embryos.
Yeah. You had 3 egg retrievals.
Yes.
And did the first transfer work?
So we didn't. So we did the 3 egg retrievals and then did the first transfer. And no, the first transfer did not work. That was another emotional roller coaster. Yeah. The first egg retrieval I got 2 embryos out of, I got 2 eggs and they both made embryos.
Mm-hmm.
And they were frozen. And the second retrieval was very difficult because none of my eggs made it to an embryo stage. And so that whole cycle was for nothing. And that I was about ready to give up emotionally and mentally and financially.
Yeah.
And I was able to do 1 more cycle and we got a couple three eggs out of that. One of them didn't make it to embryo and a couple did make it to an embryo stage. And the one that ended up being my daughter, I kind of know that embryo from the very beginning. That one, it was a hanger on, like they couldn't even freeze it at first because it wasn't really making it, and they kind of let it alone for a couple more days, and they ended up kind of freezing it like maybe 6 or 7 days, which is crazy for an embryo to be frozen that late. So, so after we had like 4 embryos to freeze, we transferred 3 embryos at one time, which is very, most doctors won't do that, but it was kind of the quality of the embryos. Just, he felt like we should just put them all in at once. Mm-hmm. And see if any of them, because sometimes when you print in, it might encourage another embryo to implant, kind of theory. So we did implant all 3, but none of those did work.
Okay.
And then that was very difficult, of course.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Thinking that I just had 1 more embryo in the freezer, but we transferred that embryo in January of 2017. And we got pregnant. I got pregnant with her. Yes.
That's great. So how was it finding out? Tell us that story.
Wow. You know, I was kind of a whirlwind as far as my life at the time. We had, we just bought my first house ever. We were in the process of, you know, just moving into there, and I don't think we'd even moved in yet. And, you know, anyone that's been through fertility treatments knows that kind of 2-week wait that you have to go through to find out. And I had made a promise with my husband based upon previous 2-week waits that I would not test at all. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do any home tests the whole time. And I just kind of kept busy with, you know, stuff with the house and trying to, you know, get ready to move and everything. And just kind of kept myself busy, and then went and got my blood tests. And I still kind of remember that getting that phone call. And I remember, you know, my nurse that had kind of been with me through this whole process saying, you know, that I had a positive pregnancy test. And I never heard those words in my life.
Oh, so this was a long time coming.
Yes, yes. So it was right before, I was 43. It was a 43-year-old egg, which is, if you, in the fertility world, it's pretty old. Mm-hmm. Yes. But then it was the whole wait to like wait a couple more days and get another test to see if my numbers were good, mm-hmm. which, cause I started out, my first beta or my first blood test was only 50. And so that was pretty low. But the next one was good. And, you know, around 6 weeks we went for a sonogram and I heard the heartbeat for the first time.
Aww. So how was your pregnancy?
It was quite uneventful until the end. It was pretty normal. I was in pretty good physical health beforehand. I think that is important. Not perfect physical health. I mean, I like ice cream, let's just say. but I did work out regularly and I did stay active. And I think that was important for my overall health. And, you know, I don't drink beforehand. You know, I'm a former smoker, but I've been quit for a long time. I think just, you know, eating kind of balanced and exercising regularly was just really key with my mental health and just my physical health. So in the beginning, it was very uneventful and just took good care of myself. It was very hot. I was pregnant for the last, my baby's born in September. So if you need anything to know about South Texas, the last few months was
terrible.
It was very, very hot.
Yeah. And it's really humid down there.
It's very humid. And so I did start to have some swelling in my ankles and stuff at the end of July, beginning of August. Mm-hmm. And then one day I didn't feel so good. And that was in the beginning of August. Her official due date was like October 5th, I think. Mm-hmm. So sometime around the beginning of August, I started, you know, not feeling that great, but I'm like attributed it to, you know, being hot all the time. My blood pressure was fine. Everything was fine. Everything was great. And then one day I just really didn't feel so good and my blood pressure skyrocketed and knew that this was not good. And we ended up going into the ER because it was high enough to warrant an ER visit.
Mm-hmm. And how far along were you at this time?
I was 32 weeks.
Okay.
And I knew that I needed to go with a blood pressure that high. And they ended up keeping me overnight to do a urine test to check for proteins in my urine and see about hypertension and preeclampsia stuff. And I did. I had preeclampsia. And they kept me in the hospital until I delivered a baby. And so I was in the hospital for about 5 weeks.
Wow.
Yes.
What did they need to do for that?
I think that at my age, they were being a little overly cautious, which is okay. I was 44. And I think the practice that I was in, the OB practice, they just said, if your number's over a certain, we keep you in the hospital until, because sending you home on bed rest, women don't have a tendency to actually stay in bed on bed rest. Mm-hmm. They get up and do stuff. So it was really just a matter of, you know, I stayed in bed except to go to the restroom and take a shower every day.
Wow.
And I did that. There were some crazy events that happened during that 5 week stay in the hospital. I don't know if you remember. I was in the hospital a couple weeks and Hurricane Harvey, if you remember Hurricane Harvey.
Uh-huh.
It made landfall over Port Aransas while I was in the hospital.
Wow.
That was an interesting event, but my blood pressure stayed down.
That's great.
I too was transferred out of Corpus Christi and transferred to San Antonio Hospital and had to stay there because they closed the hospital where I was at. But my family and we lost our house. My family lost their house, and that was pretty difficult.
Wow. What a time.
Yes.
Wow. Well, okay. So you were transferred before you gave birth.
Yes.
And then, so you were in San Antonio.
Yes, for about a week.
So how was that birth?
Well, they transferred me back to Corpus Christi.
Oh, before?
Before I, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I was induced at 37 weeks.
Okay. And how did that go?
It went well. I had a pretty normal induction and my doctor was comfortable with me giving a vaginal birth, it went well. I had a normal delivery.
And how long was it?
I think they induced me sometime. I started sometime early in the morning, maybe in the middle of the night sometime. And nothing really active happened until around maybe noon or one in the afternoon, maybe a little bit afternoon. And mm-hmm. She was born right before midnight. So, I mean, it was not an extremely long labor, but it wasn't short either.
Mm-hmm. And how was your recovery after that?
It was good. The hardest part was the mental part because we were not able to go to home. It was,
yeah.
It had been flooded quite badly. And so pretty much all of our content had to be thrown away. And then our house gutted and redone. And that took several months.
Oh, yeah.
I had family members out of their house for a whole year.
Wow.
So it was just hard. But my sister, who also lives here in Port A, she had rented a condo for her family and my new little family in Corpus. And so it was just hard because the idea that, you know, that I was going to be in my home and my family all around me and my husband, and it was going to be this joyous time. And it was joyous, but it wasn't exactly how I expected. And instead of everybody just kind of hanging out with me and the baby, they kind of all went to Port Aransas to every day to clean up and rebuild.
Wow. That must have been so hard.
It was hard, but taught me that the best plans that you have to just be flexible. That's really the big key is that what you think is how it's going to be, it's never exactly how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had this all natural birth plan and no drugs and all that kind of thing. And being induced is something differently. And I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter as long as I have a healthy baby.
Yeah. So did you find out the sexes of the babies before like the transfer?
No, those embryos were not tested, which is called PGS testing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of had to wait to like a normal pregnancy scan. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. So
yes,
you decided to find out.
Whenever they could figure it out, you know, on the sonogram. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So now you're 44 mm-hmm. and have a baby. What were your thoughts going into another pregnancy?
We knew it was going to be difficult. And we knew that we had thought about some other routes as far as growing our family, whether it be adoption or something like that. But even that's really even hard at your age. Sometimes medical interventions and the fertility treatments are easier and they're not easy, but faster, you know, to be on a wait list for a child and the fear that nobody's going to pick you to be, you know, the adoptive mom because mm-hmm. of your age. That's a real thing. And so, yeah. Because most adoptions now are through those kind of avenues where the birth mom is able to choose, which is a great to be able to be active in your child's. That's a huge sacrifice that you're making and you should be able to choose. But maybe if I was giving up my child for adoption, I wouldn't pick someone who's 47 years old. You know, I don't know. So we did have, we sought out some other medical treatments and some fertility treatments and were able to have another child.
Let's see. How was that pregnancy?
It was really great. I found another, we used another doctor out of Philadelphia this time. Again, just kind of searching the best doctor for the, and the best fit for what we needed at the time. Mm-hmm. And loved this doctor outside of Philadelphia and kind of again made the travel and was able to get another embryo. And we transferred, this time the embryos were tested. And so we knew that it was a girl. And that was, I'm trying to think, that was when I was, I think 46 when I had her. So this was all happening when I was around 45, 46 years old. And my pregnancy was great because of my previous time with preeclampsia. There had been some new studies that had come out recently during a low dose aspirin with women at risk for preeclampsia helped. And I had no blood pressure issues whatsoever with my pregnancy taking a low dose aspirin.
Oh, that's great. I'm even on a low dose aspirin because I think it helps with miscarriages also.
Yes, it does. It does. Yes. So I did that and had extra doctor's appointments and had I saw maternal fetal medicine quite often because I had some other issues with like an antibody that I had developed through my previous pregnancy. I call it a Kell antibody, which is a whole other podcast.
Now
it's something similar to the Rh thing.
Okay. That doesn't have to do with your blood type is negative.
No. Okay. It has to do with my husband's blood type and the child that we create, our girl that we created in 2017, and me delivering her, and me getting an antibody that she carries that doesn't really mean anything. It's called a Kell antibody.
Oh, okay.
So yes, it's called an isoimmunized pregnancy. So I have this antibody, and I have to make sure that babies that I have don't have the protein that I have the antibody to.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. But so I had to be followed by maternal fetal medicine. Everything went really well. I did develop gestational diabetes towards the end of my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But with diet it was not even a factor very much. I just watched what I, you know, kind of followed the directions of my doctor and didn't have any problems with my blood sugars at all.
What was your doctor's response when you were 46 and saying you wanted to get pregnant again?
I have a very supportive OB, and her attitude was like, you're in a lot better health than a lot of other women I see in their 20s and 30s. So
cool.
You know,
that's so good.
There's nothing health wise that, if anything, I'm probably more compliant. You know, I think hers and OB sees, you know, women coming in with gestational diabetes, not really following doctor's directions. She actually sees that a lot, non-compliance. You know, here I was like, you know, following every little thing to the T to make sure that I was, you know, staying healthy through the pregnancy.
Yeah. So you had gestational diabetes for this pregnancy. Was it relatively an easy pregnancy besides that?
Yes, I wasn't sick a lot. I felt great, probably because my diet was so good that I just felt good and felt really great. Mm-hmm. And then I was chasing after a 2-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always another challenge.
I remember thinking, you know, oh, I thought I was tired in my first pregnancy, but when my first pregnancy, I didn't have any other children at home and could come home from work and take a nap. Mm-hmm. That was not an option with my second pregnancy. When I came home, I had a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So if anything, it kept me probably more active and I'm just, you know, I'm grateful that I did have a somewhat easy pregnancy as far as that. I mean, not that there wasn't difficulties and hard days, but I have a very supportive and loving husband and family around me that, you know,
that's really nice.
You know, I'll take your little girl so that you can have a nap.
Let's go back to the day you gave birth with your second one.
Okay. It was really sweet. It was, I remember, you know, holding my 2-year-old and rocking her, and thinking this is the last time I'm going to, you know, just have me and her, and really treasured that. And I remember taking pictures and everything. And then my sister came and picked her up and she spent the night over at my sister's house. And
yeah. So you were induced this time again.
They did induce me because of the gestation. They just didn't want it to go too long. Plus women my age, sometimes they don't like you to go over, you know, 38 weeks. It just depends on the doctor, but health-wise, it was time for me to deliver.
How far along were you?
I was, again, like 30. 37-ish weeks, I think.
Okay.
Somewhere between 37, 38 weeks.
Okay.
I kind of got induced at the same time, and she was born just a little bit earlier. So instead of like 11 o'clock at night, it was kind of like at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night. And it was a lot quieter. My first pregnancy, my first delivery, you know, my entire family, my extended family, they were all there. Like everybody was there and very, you know, we'd been working on this for a long time. And that was great. And I loved having them there. And then with this pregnancy, it was just me and my husband. Mm-hmm. And my sister had, you know, she wasn't there because she was taking care of my daughter. Mm-hmm. And everybody. So it was kind of just quiet and nice that it was just me and my husband.
Yeah. Do you think it helped with birth?
You know, it helped with the after, not feeling like pressured to like, okay, here's everybody coming in to see, that didn't bother me. I'm very close with my family, but this was just, you know, obviously with the first pregnancy and the first delivery, we had Hurricane Harvey going on in all of our lives. And that was very traumatic for everybody. Yeah. And everybody was kind of wanting, this was like a ray of hope and sunshine after a very hard few weeks of literally cleaning up rubble and trash and everything in our, you know, all of our homes and our businesses being completely destroyed. So understood why everybody was there and, you know, very excited. Whereas like now it was like everyone was kind of busy with life with the second one, which is fine. We had enough. There's actually some drama that happened. My second daughter was born at the end of February of 2020. And I think we all remember what happened.
Yes.
uh-huh. In the next few weeks after that, there was even some stuff that happened with my daughter and myself in those first few weeks of the pandemic. So that was something else that happened.
Do you want to share that?
My daughter was born at the end of February. Like I said, we all kind of remember what happened in those next few weeks. We got COVID in the beginning of March. My newborn was just like actually less than a week old.
Oh my gosh.
We all developed COVID.
Oh my
gosh. So, yes. So that was really difficult as far as navigating that. We didn't know what was really happening, but my daughter was the first to get really sick. She actually got really sick. She has asthma and got pretty sick, and they weren't quite sure what it was. But then when my sister got sick, and then I got sick, and then some other family members got sick, we did test positive for COVID.
Wow. So your 2-year-old had it the worst, probably?
No, my sister and I were pretty sick. I was just a couple weeks postpartum pretty sick with COVID.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It was the health department actually thinks that they obviously were very interested in where we picked it up at because we were the first.
Yeah. So early.
Literally. Very, yes. So they think we actually probably maybe have picked it up because it was in the hospitals already.
Uh-huh.
And maybe when I went to deliver that somebody picked it up there.
Wow. So what was it like having COVID in a newborn?
Well, to be honest, it was scary. But at the same time, your mom instinct just kind of kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was nursing. There was nobody could tell me anything really about wearing a mask or holding a baby. I just knew that I had been holding her, right? It'd just been us in the, you know, and I was nursing her. And I think me and my husband just made a decision, hey, we've been like this already for the past week, not knowing that we've had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing we can do about it now, except for I think the best defense that I had was that I was nursing her.
Uh-huh.
And I tried not to breathe on her and I washed my hands a lot. But I still nursed her and I still held her and she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
If she did get it, you wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
So she had no symptoms.
That's really good.
Yes. And my daughter recovered. She was fine. Everybody in my family, thank God, was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's like, do I nurse her? Do I not nurse her? What would I do with her?
Yeah.
Everybody was on lockdown and everybody I knew was already sick.
Uh-huh.
My whole family was literally sick.
Oh my gosh.
So,
and your instincts are just fighting you, saying you need to breastfeed, I'm sure.
Yes. I mean, and that's really, I mean, talking to multiple doctors, it's like, that's the best thing I could have done.
Mm-hmm.
We make a joke in my house. With my first pregnancy, we couldn't get into my house. And with my second, we couldn't leave.
Oh my gosh. How odd. Like, what a coincidence.
Yes. But like I said, it's every time you think you have a plan of how you want things to go, you just kind of have to roll with the punches.
Yeah. You sure did. So
everybody's healthy now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So how was breastfeeding? for both of you, your girls?
Well, I am fortunate to come from a family that breastfed. And I know that's not normal in all families. My mom was actually involved in the Leche League right in the beginning of it, like when I was an infant in the 70s. So that was just kind of what she did. Mm-hmm. And so when my sister and I are only 4 years apart, but her children are completely grown. Her children are 30, 26, 20, yep, 27. Mm-hmm. And 22. So her children are grown. So she breastfed all of them. And I was around, you know, it was just something we did it that wasn't questioned in my family. And it was very supported. And I was supported. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a story of where it was like a struggle to breastfeed. It was never a struggle. If anything, I think that bottle feeding and or pumping is a lot more work. I mean, I can't imagine like washing all this stuff and keeping up with it. Like it's easier just to breastfeed.
Yeah.
So I had very good experiences with both children. And I miss it, to be honest. Both times I cut probably my nursing journey off a little bit early so that I could start trying to get pregnant again with my daughter. I had to wean her and I could start medications and trying to get pregnant again. Mm-hmm. I breastfed till they were two, so they were fine. Mm-hmm. But it was had to wean in order to do that. And I did that also with my second daughter. And I did try to get, I had another embryo that we actually implanted this summer, but it did not work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So do you think you'll try again?
I don't. We don't have any more embryos to transfer. And at my age, I do believe it's an impossibility as far as that route. I don't know. I think my family is done growing. I don't know how it might grow in the future, maybe through adoption or foster care, mm-hmm. which we're very interested in. But as far as me being pregnant again, I don't think that is in the cards.
Okay. Well, that is so cool that you even tried. I love that.
I transferred embryo in July and I did become pregnant, but I miscarried early on.
I'm sorry.
It was hard and it's still kind of new because I miscarried in September. Mm-hmm. But I know that I'm glad that we tried.
Well, going back to your pregnancies, mm-hmm. did you find any things that were helpful during those times?
It's hard to, when you've worked so hard at trying to have a child and you're pregnant, I think that, again, worry can get in the way of you experiencing joy. Mm-hmm. I know there was definitely days where, you know, I wasn't living in the moment that I was thinking, you know, all the what ifs. And I think every mother goes through that, but maybe even a little bit more so when you've worked so hard at trying to conceive. Mm-hmm. And also feeling as an older pregnant woman that, you know, this might be my last shot. I'm kind of like on this, you know, time crunch. And I think just kind of, again, like I said earlier, staying in the moment, like, you know, this is what's happening today. This is what I'm doing today. Mm-hmm. And not spending so much time in the what ifs, which is hard. And that I was just grateful that I do lead an active life. I think just walking, you know, and praying and meditating kind of like while I was walking was very helpful. Mm-hmm. And staying busy. And again, it probably was a lot easier with my second pregnancy because I was just busy chasing after a two-year-old. I didn't have time to think about me.
Yeah.
But in my first pregnancy, I remember it was just like very hard to kind of stay in the moment. And I actively worked at staying focused to be in the moment and not in the what ifs, and doing that through whether it be just, I wouldn't say exercise, more like walking. I'm grateful that I live here in Port Aransas and I can go take a beautiful walk on the beach, you know, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. to kind of get me out of my head. But I'm blessed in the fact that in my family and in my friend group, it wasn't a weird thing of me being pregnant in my 40s. It was just like, oh, okay, whatever. It wasn't even an issue. And I think sometimes mm-hmm. women in the, I make it a bigger issue than it needs to be, if that makes sense. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's all in our heads.
No one's paying attention to it as much as I am.
Yes. Was there any products or anything that really helped you through pregnancy?
You know, I always wanted to find a good pillow, and I never could.
You were on the hunt. On the hunt.
I tried so many body pillows, and like, I mean, I didn't care what the cost was. I was going to try it, and I could never find one. And you know what? The one that I worked the best was like this, like kind of cheap one I got from Target. And that was just a straight, you know, the straight body pillow. Because I did all the like wraparound body pillows. And that was, I would say, the hardest thing is finding a comfortable position to sleep in. But again, I don't think that has anything to do with being, I think it doesn't have anything to do with me being in my 40s. I think it was just being pregnant. I think that my diet was actually horrible. My doctor was like, you know what? You're going to be fine. You know, especially with my first pregnancy. I was very sick my first pregnancy as far as nausea. And it was hard to find something mm-hmm. that I could stomach. And I pretty much ate peanut butter and jelly my entire pregnancy.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And she was fine. Yes. I couldn't have done that for my second pregnancy. I can't think of anything that was anything unique or anything. I think it was just a very, when you keep yourself busy, you tend to, you know, and I don't say like it's not good to like just sit and, you know, be still, but I tend to, if I keep on moving, I don't get too much in my head.
Do you have any advice to those women who are pregnant in their 40s?
I would say to keep active. I think that if I look back, just some of the issues that I had is always trust your gut. The day that I knew that I didn't feel right and I went and got my blood pressure taken. I went to the doctor. Like, it's to trust your gut. Like, if you think that there's something wrong, go seek help. Don't even question it. Even if it's just walking, I think every doctor would tell you that. It's just like, I think a lot of problems can arise from being sedentary too much, which is hard when you're pregnant and you just want to lay still and just not focus on your age. I think even in my younger 40s, I was more hard on myself around that. And now that I'm in my, I'm about to turn 50, I almost feel younger than I did. I feel younger at 49 than I did at 42.
What's your secret?
Having two young children kind of helps. But even without that, I think the stuff that I've been through has taught me to just be flexible and not be too tied into my own plans and what I think my life should look like. You know, that I should have a baby by this age, or I should be married by this age, or I should, you know, I was very tied into that earlier in my, you know, in my life.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's just like, well, anything could happen. Or if it doesn't happen, that's okay. There's some other thing that's going to happen that I didn't have a plan for. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So many of us have a manual for our own self. Yeah. And when we don't follow it, it's just a disaster.
And so I remember turning 40. I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship that didn't go anywhere as far, you know, I did want a family. I did want to have that idea of what I thought I should, you know, have. And I remember turning 40 and thinking, I was blowing out candles on my birthday and thinking, my life is over. You know, I'm never going to meet anybody. I'm never going to have a family. I should have gotten out of this other relationship earlier. So, you know, knowing that it wasn't going anywhere. And I was really hard on myself. And I think that going through these pregnancies in my 40s and things not turning out exactly how I planned, but better, has taught me to not really be so tied into what I think should be going on in my life. I would also, if there's a way to, I don't know how to suggest this, kind of fight for your fertility and your, you know, people told me, oh, there's no way you could get pregnant, or, you know, everything is, like I said, like, if I was going to spend the money, that I was going to find the best doctor I could and really research it as much as I probably know more about fertility than most doctors. But
no, you sure feel like an expert coming out of it.
I would say advocate for yourself, you know, like if a doctor doesn't feel right, you can switch doctors. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do that. You're the one paying.
That's
You don't have to take everything that they say. There's lots of different opinions in the fertility world as far as what, you know, works and doesn't work. And I would find and seek out, you know, what works for you and what feels right for you and your family and your body. What really, you know, resonates with you. Because I remember the first few doctors that I saw, I just didn't get a good feeling. And I was like, I don't have to continue to go there. I can choose.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think that that's really important to tell women, because we are on a time crunch and, you know, sooner is better than later. And so I wouldn't, you know, waste time with a doctor that you don't resonate with.
Yeah. Well, Grace, I appreciate your story. You have such a wild ride with your pregnancies.
But very, very grateful for the ride. I mean, it's a roller coaster, but it's totally worth it. And I'm glad that I did fight and advocate for myself along the way.
And good luck with your future children.
Yes.
And I can't wait to follow your story.
Thank you so much for asking me.
Can you believe Grace's story? I know that she's fabulous because she had kids at 42 and 46. But those circumstances were just incredible. And if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to the podcast and give us a 5-star rating. If you can't give us 5 stars, please let me know why. Email me at jamie@over40fabulousandpregnant.com. On next week's show, we have Jackie. She had, I think, her 5th child, 1st daughter, and I can't wait to share with you. I will see you next week.